Today's interview is with Jeff Stewart from Nashville, Tennessee. Jeff, welcome to the Neon Productions Radio. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Bert.
That's great. Now, one of your heroes is Merle Haggard.
Oh, yeah.
In your songwriting, Jeff, I know there's some Merle Haggard influence. Is that a conscious effort on your part, or?
Oh, no, not at all. You know, I'm really influenced by everything I've heard.
Uh-huh.
I love all styles of music, all kinds of things, and yep. I grew up listening to Top 40, and when I was a kid,
uh-huh.
Top 40 was everything, you know?
Yeah, it was.
You would hear everything on there. You might hear Merle Haggard, and then you'd hear the Jackson 5, and
yep.
It's just whatever. I kind of miss that kind of radio, to tell the truth.
Well, you have that kind of radio right here on
MusicToGoUSA.com.
That's what we
That's
do.
That's right.
Yeah. Now you say you've been writing songs since you were 6 years old.
That's right. 6 years old. In fact, talking about processing, I kind of processed the Monkees back then. I think my first song was pretty much like a Monkees song.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How does a 6 year old have the cognition to when I was 6 years old, I didn't even know there were songwriters. How did you?
You know, I don't know exactly. I can't remember what I was thinking. As far as I just started singing and
yeah.
down. You know, just, I don't know. It just kind of what happened. I just remember started singing and started writing it down and. And I kept doing that. I can remember when I was just that young, six, uh-huh. seven, eight, when I was walking around on little day trips with my family or something, and we'd just be walking through some town, and I'd be singing and writing a song in my head.
Yeah.
At that age, you know, I'd be writing a song in my head, and then also I'd play with the neighbor kids. I would take cigar boxes and wooden stakes and stretch rubber bands out on them and make like it was a guitar and lip sync. And, you know, we'd set up a little band with the neighbor kids and, you know, I'd be lip syncing as the lead singer of this little band. And I guess maybe, looking back, that's probably why my mother said one day, she kind of said it ostensibly to my father, but she was really letting me overhear.
Yeah.
I was sitting watching TV, and she said, I wonder if any of my kids would like to learn guitar. And I whipped around and said, I would.
And that's when you picked up the guitar?
Yeah, I started at 9 years old. I started taking guitar lessons, and I learned guitar at nine.
Uh-huh.
And I actually started writing songs first, and then later, a few years later, started learning guitar, and
You were writing songs at that young age, mostly in pure thought, though, right? Because you wouldn't have known how to do the notations on paper, right?
There weren't musical notations, but it was songs that I would sing them and write them down. Yeah, little teeny yellow notepad stuff. Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive at 6 years old and seven or eight. Like I said, I didn't even know there were songwriters at that age.
Well, I guess I come by it naturally then, huh?
When did you start performing?
Oh, gosh.
For money, I'm sorry.
You know, that I did not do that until much, much later.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I wasn't performing at all until... Gosh, late teens when I started playing. I remember I used to play out at, well, that's probably pretty familiar to a lot of people anyway. Tony Roma's, it's a restaurant chain.
Mm-hmm.
They serve ribs. Anyway, I started playing at a Tony Roma's out in Newport Beach. That was one of my earlier gigs.
That's in California.
That is it. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's out in California. Actually, it was on... correct myself. I think I just said Huntington Beach. It's in Newport Beach, in on Pacific Coast Highway, actually,
uh-huh.
right down on Pacific Coast Highway.
Yeah,
I used to play there, sing for people. But that was one of my earliest gigs. So I didn't really. I mean, I tried to form bands. I wasn't much of an organizer then for the bands. I tried to form bands when I was in high school, but it just never really went anywhere.
Why is that?
You know, I probably tried too much, and I would try to put together these 10, 10-person bands, and it was hard to get everybody to show up.
And there's a certain amount of commitment that must be made by all members, and if that isn't happening, then that's a problem, isn't it?
Right. I think hopefully all things happen in time and for the right reasons, so that hopefully everything will work out just like it's supposed to.
Yeah, now you were born and raised in California, right?
I was born in Ventura, California.
What made you move out to Nashville?
Well, you know, I would send songs to the record labels in Los Angeles, and they commented to me, well, that's fine, but it really should go to our Nashville office. And came time to make a job change, and when it was time to make the job change, I thought, well, if I'm going to make a major change in my life right now, I really should be in Nashville, and that's what, it was just, the time was right to do the move that I kind of knew was happening, because I was kind of playing country music mostly. I've always had all kinds, every style, but it seems like a whole lot of my music is country influenced. You know?
Or country foundation.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, these days, I use the term Americana. I don't know if everybody would agree with that or not, but to me, it's the most overriding term, that it kind of covers everything that's not otherwise covered, and so...
Yeah, well, from listening to your music, you have such versatility that it's very hard to pigeonhole you into Americana.
Yeah.
Except with a couple of songs that were listed as Sweet Willie Milton, which we'll get into that a little bit later. But right now we do want to play a song, and it's called Barking with the Big Dogs. What made you come up with that one?
Well, my co-writer, Steve Trinward, came over to write, and he had the title idea. Now, he wanted to write it specifically about songwriters and wanted to be one of those big songwriters, and I said, well, that's cool, but let's make a little broader appeal here. So we just kind of came up with an idea of, you know, doesn't everybody want to be one of the big dogs? Everybody who's, you know, just starting out and trying to get going, and but by golly, they have enthusiasm and desire, and they want to be one of the big dogs.
And here's Jeff Stewart with Barking with the Big Dogs.
Golden puppy chasing butterflies across a yard full of dandelions. Doesn't stop to wonder why it comes naturally. He hears a howling from across the fence, calls back with a yelp at best. Doesn't know what he's up against, but can't wait to be barking with the big dogs, making noise with the boys next door, talking that big talk, mixing it up, not a pup anymore, barking with the big dogs. Little Jimmy, he's a 3-year-old, never seems to do like he's told. He's not bad, he's got a need to know, a curiosity. Through the window, here's the kids at play, wants to join them in their baseball game. But mama's got them staying in today, they can't wait to be barking with the big dog, making noise with the boys next door, talking that big talk, mixing it up, not a pub anymore, barking with the big dogs. Every puppy, every boy, anyone with a dream, gives it all they've got, the big dogs, making noise with the boys next door, talking that big talk, mixing it up, not a pup anymore, barking with the big dogs.
are back with Jeff Stewart from Nashville, Tennessee, and you just heard Barking with the Big Dogs. Now, Jeff, you had this one listed as the band name Sweet Willie Milton.
Right.
Now, how did that happen? I got it listed as both names. What is Sweet Willie Milton?
Sweet Willie Milton would be my blues band.
Mm-hmm.
As we were talking about a little bit earlier, I do have all kinds of styles, and it's really an attempt by me to make things easier on fans by performing my different songs and putting them on albums by, for instance, Sweet Willie Milton for my blues songs,
uh-huh.
and then country would be Railtown, and so on and so forth,
right?
With the different styles, because I don't want people to think, oh, now he switched, and all of a sudden, gosh, I thought he was country, and now he's doing blues.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
And so
you have a band for each genre.
exactly. And that way they know if it's a Sweet Willie Milton album or a Sweet Willie Milton song,
they know
it's a blues song.
Yeah.
And they know Railtown, it's going to be a country song. And that it's really an attempt to simplify, and so that people don't think, oh, my gosh, he changed.
Yeah.
That way, these are all different. They're just different aspects of my character.
Now, is this an original idea, or did you pick that up from somebody else in Nashville?
No, it's just something I thought up. Just my own idea.
Yeah. Now, how did you come up with a name like Sweet Willie Milton?
Well, actually, I'm glad you asked that one, because that's one of my favorites. That song, that band name, actually, my father's name is William Milton Stewart, Jr.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my dad's name, basically, and then just put a blues sound to it.
Yeah.
Sweet Willie Milton. So.
that does ring out blues just by reading the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of sentimental, so that's why the name. You know, it's my father's name with a blues twist. In fact, Railtown is a kind of a sentimental thing too, because Railtown is it's an actual little town or tourist area out in California, but my ancestors had lived there, and...
I mean, is their actual name Railtown, California?
Yeah, it's connected, it's kind of a tourist area, a small tourist area within another town out in California, but it's, they actually have a little a train running,
mm-hmm.
there, a tourist thing where you get on the train and they drive you a little ways and back. It's actually where, if you remember that old show, Petticoat Junction,
yeah,
where they filmed that. They filmed the water tower scene and all that in the train. That's what was on it, this train. And actually, a picture of that train is the logo for Railtown.
No kidding.
So we had the family reunion there at part of our family reunion, we visited Railtown. Because of that, again, I have some ancestors buried in that area, so that's how we, yeah. So like I said, I'm pretty sentimental. There's most of my band names, there's a reason for it. In fact, a lot of the things that I do, there's a reason for it.
Yeah. Do you have any other band names that we don't know about?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got 12 of them all together.
You got 12 bands?
Yes, sir.
All different genres?
Yes, sir.
And you do the writing for all of them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got a lot of material. A lot of material that I'm proud of.
How many volumes?
You'll have... I'm sorry?
How many volumes?
How many volumes? Different albums, you mean?
No, volumes of material.
Oh, how many... Well, let's just say total songs, I have about 200 songs that I'm proud of. Now, I don't have all of that recorded,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of my Achilles heel, to be honest. My shortness has always been trying to get these things final recordings. That's always kind of been a hard thing to get over. But I've got the material. I've got the material. Like I said, about 200 songs right now, different genres. But for instance, I've got one that should be to you sometime soon. A band called Zipper Lip, which is my instrumental band.
Mm-hmm.
Zipper Lip. That's kind of obvious.
Was it like New Age or?
No, just instrumental stuff. Kind of jazz, ambient music, and kind of In fact, the song that I've sent to you is, I would call it a Cajun boogie, and but instrumental, and it's called Mitch and Specs, and they're, again, there's a reason for that title. That's my grandparents' nicknames. Mitch was my grandfather, and Specs was my grandmother.
Really?
Their nicknames. And they're a big part of my music now because I've got grandma's accordion and grandpa's tenor banjo, which I play. When I perform out now, I play guitar, mandolin, tenor banjo, and accordion. And so anyway, that particular song, I wrote and used the accordion, the tenor banjo, and I call the song Mitch and Specs after my grandparents.
That's excellent. So you had a musical family background.
Yeah, just them. My parents don't play anything and didn't, but and my maternal side, they don't. But on my father's side, my grandmother, she would play organ mostly when I was growing up. She played organ.
Uh-huh.
I loved music.
Yeah.
And she got out the accordion just once or twice and showed it to me. And, you know, then when she passed away, I ended up with the accordion. And my grandfather, I never saw him play the tenor banjo. I never saw him do anything musical, but I understood.
But he had the banjo, so you must have played it at some
point.
He had the
banjo. Exactly. In fact, he claimed when I was looking at it one time, he said, I never play that. And my aunt, my great aunt, you know, his sister-in-law said, oh, yes, you did. I remember watching you play that. He just tried to deny it. But the banjo is pretty cool. The banjo is back from the 1920s, you know.
Now, did you teach yourself how to play these instruments?
Well, yeah, I had guitar lessons, but...
Now, that's not the same thing as banjo.
Right.
Because you have five strings and the chord structure is different.
Well, this is actually a tenor banjo, Bert, which is kind of interesting. The tenor banjo is different than a five-string banjo.
Oh, it is.
And yes, and, well, to people, a musical instrument lesson, I guess. The tenor banjo is strung like a mandolin, only instead of courses where there's two strings to each course. Tenor banjo just has the four strings, and it's tuned like a mandolin, only five steps lower.
Ah.
So, but interestingly enough, I just found this out in reading a book, a historical book. You know, Jimmy Rogers, who's considered the father of country music,
uh-huh.
He actually started out playing tenor banjo. He was playing tenor banjo and touring with a band that actually was two tenor banjos, a mandolin banjo, and a guitar player. Before, and that was just before he got a call and went and recorded his famous Bristol recording where he used guitar.
Yeah.
But he was playing tenor banjo, so that's kind of cool. It's a cool instrument.
Now,
I get all excited about music, you know.
Now, since you've been living in Nashville, have you ever gone back to California to perform?
You know what? I have not. I go back to California to visit, but I've not gone back there to record, to perform yet.
Is that going to be something in the future plans for you?
It's something that I have thought about that recently, and I would love to do that. So, yeah, I think I'm going to have to set that up because that would be a lot of fun to go back home to perform. Yeah.
And going back to your roots with your talent that you got from that area.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you think growing up in California made you more cognitive of the music that was out there rather than being somewhere else in the United States? Or
because
Los Angeles always got the music first.
Well, you know, I don't know that, Bert, because I only grew up in California and I didn't get around. When I was a little kid, In fact, a funny story, kind of, about California. When I remember the first time, I was probably 10 years old or so, the first time I made any kind of a long trip, and I was shocked. I looked around and saw open space, and I said, you mean there's space between the cities? I was shocked. I didn't know that. I thought there was just, you know, signs that said you're going from one city to the next now.
Is that a song?
You know, it should be, isn't it?
It should be.
It was absolutely a true story. I was shocked to realize that there was actually space between cities because in Southern California, you had fields, of course.
Yeah.
Lemon groves, orchard, you know, all kinds of fields like that. But no real space between the cities. It was just one city then the next.
Yeah.
With a sign to divide it.
When you're writing a song, do you like one... theme better than another, or do you kind of stick to themes that you're most comfortable with?
Well, I hope not, because I may fall into patterns, but if I do, I'm not aware of it, and I try to break it, because I try to write different things.
Mm-hmm.
Although, now the albums will be thematic. In other words, Railtown, I've got an album by Railtown called Honky Tonk Opera, which is all about songs in and around a honky tonk and the characters in a honky tonk.
Yeah.
And the other album by Railtown is Western Movies, which is all songs, stories from the West, an old West.
That's excellent.
Like
yeah.
You know, like a gunfighter song.
Yeah.
The Choice is a gunfighter song. Cherokee Blood, a song from an Indian point of view.
The train robbery songs and
that kind of thing. Just stuff from the old West, kind of. Basically, the albums are all concept albums, but the songs. Hopefully, when I'm writing a song, in fact, when I'm writing a song, I don't think up front, oh, I'm going to write a song for this band or that band or this style necessarily. It just whatever song hits me, and then I figure out where it goes.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to play another song from you. This one's called
Great.
Out of the Question.
Okay.
Give us a little background on that one.
Out of the Question. You know, I wrote that one by myself. I wrote it out in California. That's actually one of the older songs that you would have.
Yeah, that's pre-Nashville.
That's pre-Nashville,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It was pre-Nashville. I do remember working it at the Nashville Songwriters Association, NSAI, meetings out in Los Angeles. For those who might not know, there's a songwriters group called NSAI that's great for newer songwriters.
Yeah.
And at the time, I belonged to that out in Los Angeles. Now, I'm not from Los Angeles. Ventura is about 50 miles north of Los Angeles, but
it's still
you know,
Los Angeles.
Well, to other people, it is. So
yeah,
but that's where you go for a lot of things. You got to go down to L.A. and
uh-huh.
And anyway, there's a chapter in Los Angeles of the NSAI, and I did take this song in there and share it, and got some good ideas and adjusted the song to fit. So that's about what I can say about that song. It's as a lot of my songs are, it's not really about a specific person, but certainly draws on a lot of personal experiences.
Yeah, yeah. Here's Jeff Stewart with Out of the Question.
It's out of the question. It's just too much to ask. And I'm too brokenhearted to pretend. I'm too busy crying and living in the past. Don't ask me, I can't be just your friend. It seems like just yesterday we were in love. You told me a million times back then that your love was strong. So can you tell me what went wrong? Why can't we be that way again? It's out of the question. It's just too much to ask. And I'm too brokenhearted to pretend. I'm too busy crying and living in the past. Don't ask me, I can't be just a friend. I won't stay around and let you see me cry. Wishing we could share just one more kiss. I can't stay here wondering how your feelings disappeared. I'm too close to the tenderness I miss. So I'll be moving on. I'd rather miss you when I'm gone than stay and play a game of make-believe. Honey, it hurts too much
to be in reach but out of touch. So I will live with memories. It's out of the question. It's just too much to ask. And I'm too broken-hearted to pretend. I'm too busy crying and living in the past. Don't ask me, I can't be just your friend. No, don't ask me, I can't be just your friend. No, I can't be your friend. It's out of the question.
Writing songs or performing them, which do you prefer?
Well, I have a huge love of both, obviously, but I guess I could answer that. If I couldn't do one of them, if I had to stop doing one of them, well, I would continue doing the writing and the performing would have to stop, but I have such a desire to perform and such a need for performing that that's hard to say that, but
yeah.
At the same time, I know that in my heart and soul, that's the writing is what I thrive on. I thrive on creating. I'm a creator. I like creating.
That's the backbone of your projects, then, is the writing.
Absolutely. I have somebody was asking me just, in fact, last night was talking to me about, so what's, they didn't really understand. So what's there, singers or songwriters and people do both? What's that about, you know? And I know that sounds like a strange question, but somebody actually asked me that last night. And,
mm-hmm.
And to me, I realized in explaining to them that I have zero interest as a singer in singing other people's songs. I'm not interested in that. I'm only interested in, I sing because I want to perform and share my songs with people.
Right.
See what I'm saying? I don't write to give myself something to sing. I sing to share the songs.
That's a good point, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a cover song?
Well, I wouldn't say I've never done it. Of course, back when I was playing in Tony Roma's, way back when, I certainly did lots and lots of cover songs.
Uh-huh.
I would stick in some originals, but
yeah.
I used to, back in that day, I would do like the James Taylor, Gordon Lightfoot,
uh-huh.
Cat Stevens, and that kind of stuff, the singer-songwriter stuff of the 70s, kind of, and plus a lot of country, Willie Nelson stuff I would throw in, and in fact, that was kind of interesting, because I would do a whole lot of country stuff, considering I was playing in Newport Beach, California, on Pacific Coast Highway in a steakhouse.
they expect country over there, don't they?
Well, they do now. They do.
Yeah.
They did then. Even it was pretty big.
Yeah, but that area has always been influenced by different kinds of music, and like I said before, Los Angeles always got the music first in this country. Do you regret not staying in Los Angeles to pursue your songwriting and your performance?
Oh no, not at all. I mean, Nashville definitely is Music City, USA. It really is the songwriting capital of the world, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I certainly miss my family, who are all out in California, but I love being in Nashville.
So you feel Nashville has a better opportunity for you than Los Angeles or New York?
Well, I feel like there are more great songwriters here. I feel like it's a better place to live. And
plus, you have the collaborations.
Exactly. That's what I mean by more great songwriters.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got so much opportunity to co-write with so many people here. That's what I want to do. I want to be in a location where I can find lots of great co-writers and lots of great musicians to perform with and to record with.
Yeah.
This I can't think of a better place to be, and fortunately, it's a great place to live too.
Now, did you ever have the aspirations of being signed by a label?
I did when I was younger. As a kid, I was pretty fatalistic. I just knew I was going to be a big star. In fact, you know, I kind of think Garth Brooks, when that happened, was like, wait, that was supposed to be me. What happened? I did. I always I I thought that that was just my destiny, and that's what I was going to end up being and doing, and being a big star and all that.
So what happened? What happened?
I'm not sure why that didn't happen, but again, hopefully all things in time and everything happens the way it's supposed to.
Uh-huh.
I've certainly gotten to be, at this point, I'm a much, much better artist than I was, say, 10 years ago when I moved to town.
Okay.
I'm a much, much better writer than I was 10 years ago when I moved to town. And so that's important. And at this point, I have no kind of idea or dream that a label would sign me. And fortunately, perhaps, at this point, labels are almost insignificant anyway.
You're better off doing it yourself, right?
Right. I want artistic control. So I want artistic control. I want to do it. I want to record stuff my way.
That's what I love about you indie artists, because you want the control of your projects, of your careers, even marketing and packaging you want control of, and that's an excellent way to be. Have you ever thought of outsourcing that work to somebody else? Say, here's my project, market for me, or do anything else?
Well, marketing I would be open to. I mean, we talked about the major labels. Now, I said they're insignificant, but it's not entirely true. They could be significant. In fact, to use their strength, their muscle in marketing would be great. So I'm definitely not against taking one of my albums on my Blue Clover Records label.
Yeah.
And going to a major label to sign a distribution deal or something, sure, I wouldn't be against that.
Even though you can do distribution on your own through iTunes and Rhapsody and, you know, the $100.
Right. Well, it would have to be, the deal would have to be structured to make sense so that they, but they certainly can do all that marketing and get it out. That they certainly have more muscle that way, so.
Do you ever compare your work with some mainstream artists or a label artist? Have you learned not to do that?
I don't know. I guess I don't really know that I've ever thought of it that way. I don't think of that unless somebody says, like maybe a co-writer says, well, who should we pitch this song to? Then I start trying to think about who else might perform a song. But
now you do your own publishing?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
There again, I wouldn't be opposed to working with another publisher, and I have worked with I've worked with Song Pluggers and other publishing companies. I do have some stuff co-published with Universal South, Songs of Polygram, and I've got some stuff co-published like that. I think it's pretty common these days to have artists have their own publishing, their own record labels, and all that. You know that better than anybody, probably.
Yeah, and that's what makes the music great, because we're not influenced by the corporate outlook.
Right, and you get to do your own thing,
and it's not trendy, and it's not a lot of things that a lot of people are opposed to in the major label of today. It's not like before,
right,
when you bring in different artists and you had a everybody was a hands-off deal, you know, they didn't change your work. Would you allow people to change your work if you know, they said, hey, you know, we want to buy your song, but our staff writers are going to change the song a little bit, give it a different feel, or change the lyrics some? Would you allow that?
Wow, that's an interesting question. I certainly wouldn't like that. That certainly would be not a good thing.
Yeah. But it's a sale of a song. I mean,
I guess.
Would you stick to your guns and not sell the song, or would you allow them to the staff writers to put their fingers on this?
Interesting. You know, I don't have a quick answer for that, Bert. I mean, because obviously. See, the thing about songs is you never lose what you have at any point. In other words, like when you're co-writing, you know, you'll write a song, you'll come up with a certain point, and maybe you think, you know, maybe we should change that. I said, well, let's try it. We'll try rewriting a verse.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, we don't lose what we already have. So, I guess there's a lot of factors in that question. Would I still be able to, and I would, I'm certain, I would definitely have to still be able to do my version of it and my way and put it out there. But, money does talk too. If somebody wants to buy a song and I don't lose what I already have anyway, sure. That might be open to them, having a different version of it, of the same song. That doesn't hurt anything because I've still got my song.
Yeah,
I've still got my version. I'm just kind of coming up with an answer on the fly here, thinking of how I would approach responding to that, and that would be it. I would have to be assured that I still have my song the way I wrote it, and if they want to add to it, change it, then that's their version of it.
Yeah,
if they want to pay me money to do that. Sure.
Now, you've gotten some pretty rave reviews out there in Nashville from Chris Dubois, who is the son of Arista's Tim Dubois, and says, Jeff is bound to make an impact on the Nashville music community. Do you feel that you have done that?
Not yet.
What will it take to really make an impact?
Wow. I guess I need to get to the right people at the right time. I need to make in. I don't know. I guess if I knew that, I would have done it.
You think?
I think that's kind of it. Honestly, that's probably the most honest answer I can say. If I knew exactly what it would take, I would have done it already. But
yeah,
I'm working on it. I'm doing my thing and doing my best to get out there it just takes getting, like, perhaps the right song to the right person. I mentioned earlier that I don't have any kind of idea or imagination that a major label would sign me, but I do think that probably the most likely thing for my big success now would be to have some artist, major artist perhaps, or up-and-coming artist record my songs and make hits out of them. That's probably the most likely scenario for me making it bigger would be having some hit songs,
mm-hmm.
and then using that money to record my albums. That's what I see as the most likely direction for me to thrive in what I do.
Okay, well, here's what ALV Music has said about you. He's a hot performer and hot songwriter. If you get a chance, come see this kid. I mean, you've made an impression on ALV Music.
Well, I make an impression on those that see me. Yeah, I mean,
you got to be doing something right, right?
Well, I'm proud of my. I'm proud as a singer, songwriter, and a performer. I'm definitely proud.
Uh-huh.
I just don't claim to be a big hit yet.
Yeah,
not there yet, and I'm not sure. I'm not sure what criteria we can place on that anymore. Things in the music industry have totally been going through a huge change, as you and everybody knows.
Yeah,
things are changing so much now with internet radio.
Yeah.
And songs being sold through the internet.
And all the technology available to the artist to basically be their own label and distributor, and
exactly.
Not have the costs of going into debt with a major label.
Exactly. I was talking to a major manager of a country artist a while back, and he said, I don't care about radio. I couldn't care less about radio now. It's all about the downloads.
Yeah.
All about the downloads.
Well, see, you don't get the downloads unless you do have radio, and that's one thing that we're bringing back is, yes, everything is free on musictogousa.com because we want the listeners to say, hey, I like this artist, and I'm going to find him elsewhere on the Internet. Which brings us to where can they find your music?
Well, the center of my Internet presence would be the Blue Clover Network at blueclover.net.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the place to start off. Go to blueclover.net.
Yeah.
From there, they can click on all kinds of the MySpaces
all different directions where your music is available.
Correct.
What's the next project for Jeff Stewart?
My first real bona fide studio album, which tentatively is titled It's Only Me, It's going to be just me and one instrument per song. I'm looking forward to it. Songs that I wrote by myself, that's the concept. Songs I wrote by myself,
yeah,
perform solo. And I'm excited about it, actually. I'm looking forward to it.
That sounds very interesting.
Well, I hope so. I think so. I'm going to try to make it, it's going to be a little different in that I play the different instruments, so it won't all be all steel string guitar and vocals like that. It's not going to be all the same exact sound, and it won't be all the same style. There'll be some variety.
Yeah.
Use different instrumentation. You know, mm-hmm. I'll have a different instrument on each song, basically.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I hope that'll be finished in the spring.
In the spring?
Yeah.
Of 2009?
Yes, sir.
I have to ask because you songwriters are so elusive sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that's the plan. I'm just getting ready. It's in the very, very early stages. I mean, I just basically came up with the concept, probably a week ago. So just getting started on that.
Now, at the end of this interview, we're going to be playing Cherokee Blood. Can you give us a little background on that one?
Well, again, that's a song I wrote by myself. I am part Cherokee, and I guess that's basically where it came from. I don't know that I can remember a whole lot of what I was thinking at the time, but I wrote it by myself, and I am part Cherokee, so it comes from a place deep in my heart, I guess. I feel that the song talks about living on as a spirit through my children, and so maybe I didn't write it at all. Maybe it was written by an ancient Cherokee ancestor of mine, you know.
And here's Jeff Stewart with Cherokee Blood. And Jeff, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Thank you, Bert. I appreciate it very much.
And stay right there. We're going to be right back with you.